The Bible is the word of Almighty God. Therefore, it does not need to be defended, only understood. The purpose of this program is to present to you, our viewers, the key to understanding the Scriptures. There is within the pages of the Bible itself a God-given design for studying the Bible. All the confusion that exists within Christianity today is the result of two failures. Number one, ignoring God's design for Bible study, and number two, failing to believe what the Bible actually says. We remind you of what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5:18, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall abide forever." We're instructed in Romans 3:4, "Let God be true, but every man a liar." We are informed by 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And as well, God tells us how to study His Word in 2 Timothy 2:15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That's God's design, rightly dividing the word of truth. Not according to your liking, not into verses you want or don't want to obey, but making distinctions where God makes distinctions. Obeying that portion of the Bible that is specifically addressed to us today. Now, here is our teacher.
Good evening. We're happy to be with you on the TV program. Welcome and invited into your homes. I'm Pastor Russell Shepherd, and we'd like you to take your Bibles. We're from Grace Ministries to the ninth chapter of the book of Hebrews, where we'll find our Bible text. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says that as is appointed unto men once to die, but after death, the judgment. As is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Father, we say thank you. In our Savior's name, we just ask that this ministry and this message might be committed to thy hands. And we thank you for our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, who put away our sins by the sacrifice from himself. And we thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who is the author of thy word and the teacher of thy word. We just pray that he might teach us these things that are precious to you, that they might be precious to our hearts. We thank you for thine eternal word, and we just ask that it might be glorified and have access to minister to the hearts of those that are lost and those who are saved, knowing that thou would all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So we just give you praise, honor, and glory. In our Savior's name we thank, give thanks, and pray. Amen. Our message again is called Your Appointment Day. And our lesson is found in the ninth chapter of the book of Hebrews and the 27th verse, where it says, "As is appointed unto men once to die." Once to die, and after death comes the judgment. We want to raise a question to you sitting in the audience tonight. Do you know you must meet your Creator? Hebrews 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19, God the Father is called the faithful Creator. In Ephesians chapter 3, the Lord Jesus Christ, it says that God Almighty, through Jesus Christ, created all things. And then in Genesis chapter 1, it talks about the Spirit of God moving upon the face of the waters. Obviously a reference to the creation creative acts of God, the Holy Spirit. So we see the Father, the Creator. We see the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." It says all things were made by him and for him. So you see the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead, is called the Creator. And then we see that God, the Holy Spirit, is also called the Creator. And the text tells us that there's an appointment day for men. There's an appointment day that has to do with judgment. And we think about the fact that when Adam was created, God made Adam in a position, a probationary position, to come into a higher state of reality and relationship with God. You know, the Bible says in the fourth chapter of John that God is a spirit. And it says that they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. So when God made Adam, Adam dealt with God on a spiritual basis. The Bible says that God formed man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And so Adam had a spiritual relationship with God. And yet when Adam sinned, by one man, Adam sinned into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men for all have sinned. We know that in Adam all died. You can look out among you. You can see the proof of death of all the people that have come into the families of men. In Genesis chapter 5, the chronological order is given. It says, and Adam died, and his son died. And it goes through that list. They died. Adam was created as the federal head, we call it in theology. He's the head of the human race. And so we're all in Adam. We're all in Adam as his children. And Adam, when he sinned, he died. That day, he died spiritually. Spiritual sin A spiritual death, Ephesians 4 says, is alienation from God, is alienation from the life of God. The Bible, when it describes death, never means that men cease to exist, but it means separation. So we see in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul talks about those who were dead or who are dead in trespasses and sin. There are some living folk out there listening to me tonight who are dead. You're not dead physically, you're dead spiritually speaking. Some of these words I'm saying don't even make sense to you. It's like a bunch of mumble jumble. But you know, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2 that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, and neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. If you come in contact with a spiritual creator, you have to have his Spirit, the Spirit of God who brings light and understanding. Jesus Christ is that true life, the light of every man that comes into the world. There's not a man, woman, boy, or girl who's not born with a consciousness of God, who's not aware of God. The heavens themselves declare the glory of God, the Bible says. And yet, men in their rebellion because of Adam's sin are also separated from God's life, spiritual life. And yet, we know that men die. They die a physical death. A few weeks ago, we preached a funeral. We had the opportunity to preach at a funeral. We preached this message, your appointment day. And it's always interesting to me how certain people, you know anybody that they can never be on time for anything? That might be you. Whether it's a doctor's appointment or a school appointment or some other kind of appointment, getting to work on time. There's people who no matter what time they have to get to work, they're always late. Now, most people, when it comes to money and got, you know, checks coming, you don't want the postman to be late. But most times a lot of people you and I know are late. They're not conscious and responsible for being on time at certain places. But, you know, there's one appointment that men aren't going to miss. It's the appointment in our text, as is appointed unto men once to die. You see, you have an appointment day with the Creator. And yet God is eternal and he's long suffering. Men died spiritually through Adam, by Adam's sin in the world and death by sin, and an alienated man from the life of God. And yet Adam, 930 years old, the Bible says, and Adam died. That was a physical death. But you know, the most awful death is taught in the Word of God is called the second death. It's what the Lord Jesus Christ meant when he said, what is it profit of the man that he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? What is the profit in there for man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? You know, men esteem the world greatly. Men would care less about a soul of a boy or a girl or a man or woman who was in destitute and had needs more than the riches of this world. Men esteem the world's riches. God Almighty esteems souls because they're precious to him. And yet, God in his mercy and his kindness, being eternal and being long-suffering, men sometimes take God's goodness for weakness. They take God's love for a lack of strength. They count it as God being weak. They count God as being indifferent. And yet God is just being eternal and long-suffering. You know, there's people sitting there as they listen to me who have done hideous sins. And yet some people are sitting there who are morally good. And yet people fail to see when Adam authored the nature that he offered. The tree that Adam and Eve ate of was called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When the Lord says, what is the profit of man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? He was talking about what the Bible calls the second death. That's the passage where it says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That perishing death is an eternal death. It's the death of the soul from the body. It's eternal judgment. It's eternal death. It's what Peter meant when he says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness. He's this long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish. You know, the Bible says that God will all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God is called the God, the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. And yet there's a judgment day coming. And men, because they get away with sin and they don't see God get them, they don't see God pour out his wrath, not understanding that the goodness of God is what leads men to repentance, not understanding that God is a merciful God and a long-suffering God, a God who cannot acquit the guilty, and yet a God who's not quick to judge the guilty. So Ecclesiastes, Solomon says, because a sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, because God Almighty in his mercy and his kindness doesn't go out and judge men immediately because of sin, because his wrath doesn't come down immediately. He says, because a sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, that's fast. Therefore, the hearts of the sons of men are fully setting them to do evil. Though a sinner sin 100 times and his days be prolonged. You see, God Almighty is just letting the breath stay in your mouth. He says, yes, surely I know. You see, God Almighty is eternal, so he doesn't have to wait. He doesn't have to be in a hurry to get you. And God Almighty knows you're going to die one day because it's appointed unto men once to die. And after death, the judgment. You see, you're going to meet God through death. God's vehicle to deal with you will be the vehicle of death. God has allowed that to happen by one man, Adam. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Now, sin was already in the universe through the angelic host, but when Adam rebelled against God, Adam had been put here to be the God of this world. And when he sinned, Satan became the God of this world. And Satan has erected systems of the world. That's why the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The systems of the world have been erected by Satan to confuse you. Satan is called the God of this world, and if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. These are spiritual things. So Satan uses spiritual tools to blind people in spiritual blindness to keep them from having spiritual life and yet stand in spiritual death. And these systems of the world are put here. Satan's main spirit of operation is through religion and a religious system that preaches today righteousness by man's works and man's goodness. And because God is not so quick to judge men, men think they get away with sin, and yet men are going to die, and Satan knows that. Do you know the Bible in Hebrews 2:14 says that Jesus Christ came to destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil? Do you know that Satan's greatest tool that he uses is death? To take people and to destroy them eternally, knowing that when death happens, when you die, there's no more chance. It's appointed of the verse says, unto men once to die, and after death comes the judgment. But Jesus Christ, the Bible says, Jesus Christ was manifest to destroy the works of the devil, and he did that at Calvary. Let me show you something. Come with me to Revelation chapter 20, because I want you to see this judgment. You see, there's a judgment day coming, and death is the vehicle that God uses to put men in a place of confinement, a place for a future judgment. And there's coming a time, my friend, there's coming a time when the Creator, the second person of the Godhead, who came down and went to Calvary's cross, who was made sin for me on Calvary's cross, who was transformed in a way of that the judgment of God was poured out on his spirit, his soul, and his body, that's likened until this judgment we're going to see here that's going to be poured upon all men who leave this world without a hope in Christ, who leave this world without Christ as their Redeemer. You see, the wisdom of God was that God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ, and God would go to Calvary and accomplish for man what man couldn't accomplish for himself. J.C. O'Hare used to had a poem, and it's a song we sang, that life begins at Calvary, where Jesus died for sins. Until you come to Calvary, your life will not begin. A life received at Calvary will never, never end. So come to Christ at Calvary. He's still the sinner's friend. Would you come to Christ at Calvary? All you have to simply do is come as a guilty sinner for whom Christ died for. The Lord Jesus Christ said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again, a reference to the nation of Israel. And yet Paul refers to the spiritual awakening, the spiritual life, the impartation of divine life, the divine nature, as regeneration today, that God regenerates your dead spirit by his spirit through the word of God, as you believe it by faith, as you believe that Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. You won't come to the condemnation, but you pass from death unto life. And that's eternal life, because Christ becomes your life. You see, God made provisions for you. And yet there are people who scoff at the goodness of God. They scoff at God's holiness and his righteousness. And they throw their finger up. Can you think about the fact that little puny little man would scoff at the Creator of the universe, the Creator of the heavens and the earth? No wonder the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, no God. No wonder that man, when God revealed himself to them through the creation and the invisible things being made known by God's eternal power and Godhead, so through creation, the things that are clearly seen, that men, when they rebelled against God, they are without excuse. God has put a witness in every man that there's a God. And yet the second person of the Godhead, the faithful Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ, who created all things, became a man that he might go to Calvary and become your Redeemer, that he might redeem you through his blood. The redemption we have through his blood, the forgiveness, notice this, of our sins, watch it, according to the riches of his grace. The law made nothing perfect. The law made nothing imperfect. We know by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in God's eyesight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things, not some things, but all things that's written in the book of the law to do them. And James says, if a man offend in one point of the law, he's guilty of all. Do you know what the law is today? The law is holy, righteous, and good. It's me that's unholy. Paul said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. He said, the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I just don't know how to do it. That's because he had a sin, a problem of indwelling sin. He had an incurable disease of indwelling sin. And yet the spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, was given to him by faith. He received that new life. And so that was life, and life more abundantly. And yet what the law could not do because of the weakness of the flesh. You see, if you don't know the Ten Commandments, if you don't know the law, how are you trying to keep them to get to heaven? I always give people this illustration. Listen, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. That's that judgment. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I give this example. Listen, if you were to go down to the local store and I gave you a coupon, and that coupon says you buy one loaf of bread and you get one free. So you go in the store and you give the man $1 or whatever for the first loaf of bread, and then you give him the coupon for the second loaf of bread. Do you expect to pay for that second loaf of bread? Now think about what I'm saying. You would count it ridiculous for somebody to go in there and pay for the second loaf of bread, or you say they were an idiot, or they didn't have common sense, or they didn't understand, because when you pay the man for the first loaf, you give him the coupon and you get the second loaf free. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Satan has duped the human race to believing that you can work for salvation, but you would have to have perfect work from the time that you're born, in word, thought, and deed. Don't forget what James said. If a man offend in one point of the law, he's guilty of all. So what you do, my friend, is you take the coupon, which is his faith, and you give it to God. And when you give the coupon of faith, you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, and you receive eternal life as a free gift. Take the coupon and get saved today. Don't wait. Now's the day of salvation. As you hear God's voice through this book, you trust him. If you don't, here's the judgments that's waiting for you. Revelation chapter 20, and I want to start here in Revelation chapter 14 first, because I want you to see something. On the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ, God's wrath was poured out upon him. And there's a passage about people who during the tribulation period will join up in cahoots with Satan. And by the way, if you're lost today, you're one of Satan's children, according to scriptures, Ephesians 2, 1 to 3. You read it. You're said to be the children of the course of this world. You walk according to the course of this world, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. There are people, when God Almighty comes and takes his people out of here to call the church, the body of Christ, in the age of dispensation of grace, when it's over, God Almighty is going to begin to judge the world. He's not judging the world today. He judged his son. He judged his son in righteousness, that he wouldn't have to judge me if I trust his son to have paid for my sin through his judgment. Revelation chapter 14, verse 9, accounting the issue of the tribulation period. People will go through the tribulation period, and there'll be people who receive the mark of the beast, this mark that identifies them with being part of Satan's program. And it says in verse 9, Revelation chapter 14, verse 9, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, and notice this verse 10, the same that receives that mark, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the Holy Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever and ever and ever. You know how long forever is? That's a long time. And it says, and they have no rest. Notice that, no rest, day nor night. You know, weeping can endure for a night, but joy does come in the morning. Reference to Israel, prophetic program, second advent of Christ, and yet there's an application for me and you too. You can be tormented with physical pain, and yet you get the rest. You go to sleep. The pain knocks you out. They give you medication. You get a time of rest. Do you realize there's a time when God's going to judge people at a great white throne judgment, and then in a lake of fire, the second death, that men and women, boys and girls who have come to the point to be able to make a free will decision to trust Christ and rejected him or God's word throughout all the ages as he spoke to different men at different times through diverse manners about his son and the aspect of how he's going to redeem them through a Messiah or through the different types of sacrifices he made for Israel or through his word just simply being believed, like Abraham, who had a message of grace, or Abel, who offered up a blessed sacrifice typifying the Lord Jesus Christ. Abel didn't know that, but Abraham, the Bible says, by faith Abraham offered up a more excellent sacrifice. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And yet God Almighty only is made known today in a personal way through his word and through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has declared him, who has revealed him. He's the living word. He's the word made flesh. Notice this, in this passage though, there are people who are going to be tormented, and it's going to be day and night, and they have no rest, who worship the beast or his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Come with me to Revelation chapter 20 and watch how this thing goes. There's a judgment day coming. There's several different judgments in the Bible. And this one is called the Great White Throne Judgment. Now, God Almighty, for believers, has already judged sins according to the scriptures. God Almighty and Jesus Christ, the Bible says God made him to be sin for me, Russell Shepherd, who knew no sin, that I could be made the righteousness of God, not in me, but in him. Christ is my righteousness, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 says. 1 John chapter 2 says that Jesus Christ, the righteous, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, he's the righteous one. And at Calvary, he was made sin. God judged his son. He judged him for me. Jesus Christ, because of his great love and the Father's great love, went and died in my stead, the just for the unjust, to bring me to God. And so in Christ, I've been judged already. And I'll never have to come into condemnation. Now, don't forget this. God sent his son in the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus Christ came to seek and save that which was lost. Are you lost today? Because Paul said, if you are, Christ died for the ungodly. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. It's not by his life on the planet earth that saves us. It's his death at Calvary. Hebrews, our text where we're at, says that Jesus Christ put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. By this man, after he offered up one sacrifice for sins, notice this, forever. Jesus Christ, when he offered up that one sacrifice for sins forever, he put away sin eternally. He put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He was the sacrifice. He was the propitiation for our sins. Not only our sins, but the sins of the whole world. God made him to be sin for us. He judged him in my place, so I won't have to go into judgment. The proof is he was delivered from my offenses, but he was raised again for my justification. You see, the fact that Jesus Christ got up from that dead in the grave is the basis of what all I believe in stands on. It was wonderful that he came into humanity, that he left heaven's glory, Jesus Christ, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet he became poor for my sake. He left heaven's glory and took upon him the form of a man. He left the form of God and became a man. And when he became a man, he came for the purposes of redemption. And on the cross, he said, it's finished. He said, Father, I finished the work that you gave me to do. You see, if his life would have saved me, he would have never had to die. But it was his death on Calvary. His death was for the payment of my sins. And when he died a perfect death, being eternal God. The creator became the creation, creature, that he through the grace of God and by the grace of God might taste death for every man. In the resurrection, the basis of my faith is a resurrection. Jesus Christ, because he got up, he lives and he's able to give life and immortality, light to the gospel. That is, he can impute his life and his righteousness to you freely. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, I saw a great white throne. Here's the Savior who becomes the judge now. John chapter 5, Acts chapter 17, Paul says God has given assurance unto all men that Jesus Christ is going to be the judge, that he raised him from the dead. That's the proof of the judgment coming. He says, and I saw a great white throne in him, that's Christ, who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no more place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Notice the dead are raised, and they stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged. Notice this, were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Listen, your works would be accepted by God if they were perfect works, but God is no respecter of persons. And God Almighty is going to judge men according to their works. That's the issue of degrees of punishment in hell, because your works would have to be perfect works for God to accept them. Paul says, we know the judgment of God is true against such things, against those that commit such things. He says, and we know that the judgment of God, he goes down to the passage, he says, who were rendered to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patience, continues in well-doing, seek for glory and honor and immortality, God will give them eternal life. If you can perfectly do good all the days of your life, the verse is saying, glorifying God in everything you do, and you know you don't, God will give you eternal life. But it goes on to say, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, that's me and you, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, he's going to give them wrath. Revelation chapter 20, here's a wrath, verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. This is the second death. Now, I said earlier that Jesus Christ at Calvary destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil. So in Revelation chapter 1, the Lord stands there and says, I have the keys of Hades and death. You know what that says? He can keep you out of hell. Jesus Christ can keep you out of hell. Do you want to go to hell today? The wages of sin is death. That's the eternal death. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after death comes the judgment. There's going to come a time when men who die are going to be taken out of that judgment place, that holding place, and they're going to stand before the great white throne. There's going to be, the Lord's going to be in his judicial garment, his eyes are a flame of fire. They're not going to speak back to him. Oh, he's the holy God. He's the everlasting Savior. Verse 14, it says, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. The Bible, there's a reference. People say if you're born once, you die twice. But if you're born twice, you die once. You know what they're saying there? You need to be born again. You need to be born of a spiritual birth. When Adam sinned, I said he was spiritually separated from God. And yet when God Almighty today saves you, he renews or rejuvenates or regenerates your dead spirit. He quickens us. You who are dead in sin, says he, made alive, Paul says. And not only that, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has made us alive together in Christ. Are you lost today? You know whether you're lost. The word of God bears witness today to you that you're lost, you're guilty. If you don't have perfect, absolute, total righteousness, you won't get in a billion miles of God's heaven. But you can come simply by faith tonight and trust the Lord Jesus Christ, and God will forgive you every sin. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.
Thank you for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we hope this program has been enlightening to you. Our desire is to establish your faith upon the truth. Only then will you experience real liberty. The truth shall set you free. If we can be of any further assistance to you, we would love to help you. Or if you would like any of the free literature you see on your screen, you may call or write Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Our phone number is area code 810-778-5032. Once again, that's Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Area code 810-778-5032. Thank you for sharing this time with us. Join us again this same time next week to learn more about God's message of grace. Until then, this is Daniel Schulert speaking for all of us at Grace Bible Church, praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe.